this message this morning will be about that very thing, happy the home. And specifically, we're going to speak on parenting. And as a surprise guest, I have my wife here with me, as I can't do this message on my own. I know Mark, Pastor Mark was saying it was Errol, but it's probably more Beth than me. As parenting has been something that very, very close to our hearts, in terms, because we began homeschooling quite a while back anyway. So, we're going to present today principles which are not only just for homeschooling, but for, and not only for just children. We can apply these principles even to us as adults. So when Beth and I became parents, we generally didn't have a clue on what to do. And I think that's the same with many parents. No matter what experience that we may think we have prior to having children, it's only until we have them, then we can start to say, okay, I know this is what we have to do. Sorry. So just like when we're getting married, right? If we're doing it the right way, we're not living together and we haven't moved in together. Till you move in with them, till you get married with them, then you know about the person. The work of the parents, according to God's way, though, is seldom done as it should be. And we just thank the Lord that it says in inspired writings that God will make up those deficiencies. He makes up deficiencies of our weaknesses. But we've been gifted, especially as Adventists, to access to some really amazing and encouraging books with principles and practical tips found within the Bible. We highly recommend books like Child Guidance and Adventist Home, these are books that we've read, and just like the Bible, sometimes we go back and we forget, oh, that was there. And the good thing is, we found within these pages is the Bible, but they're expanded on and mostly importantly are spiritually inclined, as in to do with the welfare of our children being secured for eternity. Because sometimes when we go about teaching our children, we attend to their physical and mental needs, but also we need to attend to their spiritual needs. We want them to be happy and successful in life. You know, as new parents and young parents, we generally have just on the job training. And these books or the counsel that we have available to us can really help us to help our children develop a relationship with God, because that's what it's all about at the end of the day. You know, our children can become very rich and they can, you know, be successful, but if they don't know God, what is life if man gains the whole world but loses his soul? So it's not enough for us to just say do this or do that and then become utterly regardless and forgetful of what we have requested. So our children become not careful to our commands. So that today we're going to share with you some basic methods of teaching and some essential lessons we can teach our children. We're sharing because it helps us to learn as well, because we haven't arrived either. And this is a good way of learning, self-learning as well, for sharing. So that's what we're going to be doing with you today. So please don't think that we're sharing these things because we've done it right and we've made it. We are learning just as much as everyone else.
We can see a lot of young people in the church today. They are struggling, especially with a relationship with the Lord. Children don't know what to do. They're going to the world as they don't understand their duty. We don't want our children to get lost. We want to prepare our children for the second coming of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare the way for our children to obey our command cheerfully. Teach them to ask the Lord to help them in the little things of life, to be wide awake to see the small duties which need to be done, to be helpful in the home. If we do not educate our children, there is one who is willing to educate our children. You know who is that? It's Satan. For Satan is watching his opportunity to sow the seeds of tear in our children's heart. And that's found in Manuscript 5, 1895.
So let's get into it. Here, I will share my screen. Parenting principles and practical tips for Christian parenting. And we shared this one, we've shared this before, and it was interesting. We had people who listened who also had challenging spouses that they said we can use this on their own spouses. So don't, this is not just, you know, we can be parenting our spouses even, or anyway. So as our scripture reading today was read by Ella Sowell, this is they're going to be the foundation of our message or our study this morning. Okay. So God, we have to learn that God has entrusted us with the great responsibilities as parents. And you know, when we say parents, it's also grandparents or even uncles and aunties. We need to learn right methods of training our children that they may keep the way of the Lord, as the word says. We need to constantly seek God in prayers for help. We must be intentional. It will take a lot of work, a lot of prayer, sacrifice, patience, perseverance, commitment, and a lot of change. So we'll just look at these briefly, five, some effective basic methods of teaching.
Number one there is spend time with God with your children.
Mm.
You know, when you do worship in the morning and in the evening, singing song for Christ, prayer together as a family, doing the Bible studies together with your children, we are actually introducing them the character of Christ in their mind.
Yes. Next one is pray constantly and ask for the Holy Spirit. This is key. Because we must not separate the spiritual life with the physical life. God can guide us through any situation, and a situation where new parents and growing parents, the Lord is there to help. So we must be praying constantly and asking, as the Lord says, for the Holy Spirit to guide.
The third one is gentle manner. We must have a gentle manner. The fretful, impatient creates nervousness or anxiety in a child, whereas gentle manner tends to quiet the nerves of our children.
Yes, and that's a short testimony of mine is that that's what we didn't have sometimes in the home, the gentle manner, which rubs off on the children. When I say we, as in when I was a child. So gentle manner will go a long way. Take time to reason. Parents or everyone really should reason with their children to correct their errors and patiently teach them the way. So that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. We cannot have patience without the Holy Spirit. We need to have patience. Also, just sometimes we can, if we're trying to encourage our children, but we could be encouraging that, try to encourage them in a discouraging way. When we were riding bikes and Ella was slacking behind a bit, I could have said, come on, you're doing well. And but if I could have also been like, come on, you're doing well. And but the manner in which I do it might discourage or encourage. So we have to... So I'm combining gentle manner and taking time to reason. We have to say it simply and often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to direct their minds with few words, but and not confusing the child, and make our instructions short and clear than to give it all at once and stress the child in a negative way. Sometimes we want to tell them and teach them so much, but it can't be too much, because the child might may be stressed and it might affect them in a negative way. And finally, spend more time out of doors. Pastor Walker, I liked how he mentioned that in nature, out of doors is like the second Bible. If we let them play outdoors, they get to listen to the birds and learn of the love of God. Their minds actually and their memory expand. There's been actually research, I haven't been able to put it here, but where they've seen the benefits of children spending more times in the great outdoors to their minds and for their memory. So these are just some basic methods we can have. All these things we're sharing with you, it's not complete. We're just sharing some basic methods, and also the next essential lessons that we can teach our children is as follows. So we're going to look at probably, depending on the time, we're going to look at quite a number of essential lessons we can teach our children. So the first one is obedience. As our scripture reading says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Mm-hmm. Happiness is dependent on obedience. Disobedience, if we think about it, it caused the loss of Eden. Disobedience and transgression are even a great offense to God. Unfaithfulness in that which is least will soon, if uncorrected, will lead to transgression in that which is great. So we have to teach our children obedience to the little things, because the little things will build up to the right, to the bigger things. So it's not so much the greatness of the disobedience, but the disobedience itself, which is the crime.
Parents or grandparents or parents-to-be, we must guide our children into path of strict obedience. True happiness in this life and in the future life depends upon obedience to the Lord. This is the greatest and most important work that mother and fathers can do. It is God's design that even the children and youth shall understand intelligently what God requires, that they may distinguish between righteousness and sin, between obedience and disobedience.
Yes. So obedience should be also made to become a delight. Parents should, we should educate our children by not allowing any disregard of God's holy law. We should rely upon divine power, asking the Lord to help us to keep our children to be true to God. God longs to pour upon his children the rich current of his love, and he longs to see them delighting to do his will rather than murmuring and complaining.
Obedience to parental authority should start in babyhood and cultivated in the youth. Some parents think that they can let their little ones have their own way in their babyhood, and then when they get older, then they can teach them obedience as they can understand. But it is a mistake. Begin the baby life to teach obedience. In Hever and Herald, it says, from their earliest life, children should be taught to obey their parents, to respect their word, and to reverence their authority.
In obedience, we need also to teach them how to discern from right and wrong. Their decision making may be sharp, so their decision may be making must be sharp and wise. This will train them essentially to be leaders. Their future depends on what their decision making in life is like. When you ask our boys to have a bath, this was before, and that sometimes they answered, no, we don't want to have a bath. But then we go back and forth, where you need to, and no, I don't want to, and you're arguing with them. There's a method that we found within the council, which gives them the no other way decision. We have to give them the no other way decision. And what's that no other way decision? This means that you give them an opportunity to make the choice to decide for themselves, but in no other way but to obey you. Mm-hmm. So you give them the decision to choose for themselves, but in no other way but to obey you. Mm-hmm. So how do we do this?
For example, when EJ and Seth will take the bath, they usually say, no, I don't want to, but you need to have a bath. Sometimes they will say, a lot of times they will say no. And children have their own decision. And that's the greatest gift that the Lord has given to us, to have freedom of decision, freedom of choice, but we need to guide their decision not to disobey. In that way, in a no other way decision, rather than saying you must have a bath, replace that with, what would you like? Bubbles or both? Bubbles or both. Amazing thing. You will see them running to the bathroom and saying, I want bubbles. And the other one will say, I want both.
As you see, we're trying to build their decisions to obey. And you can apply this no other way decision path in many ways for them not to obey. So if our kids like, if you're trying to get them to eat healthy food, don't give them a choice of the unhealthy and the healthy. You say, so as an example with our kids, say apple or pear, banana or grapes, vegetables or fruit, rather than giving them the choice of good and the bad. This decisions is very important for the child to develop, as their future depends on their decisions. We have to let them decide and enjoy the gift of choice. But our duty as parents is to direct and guide their decisions to choose the right way.
Many parents try to control our children's decision-making. They must obey and do what I say. Remember, children love to make decisions. That's one thing that God put within them, within us. Decision-making basically forms who we are in terms of our character. Mm. Another example, as soon as the children woke up in the morning, you want them to have their devotional rather than straight to their toys. Apply the no other way decision. So I would say, devotional time, what would you like, Bible books or audio Bible books? Usually Ella will say Bible books as she likes reading, but the boys will say the audio Bible books. As boys, they just want simple and easy to do. But whatever their choice, it's both good for them, and they obey you happily. Those who would not be obedient in Christ here in earth would not obey him in eternal world.
Yes, so that's obedience. We're also going to look at, now we'll look at self-control. In Proverbs 25 verse 28, it says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. So this is another basic lesson to teach our children for happiness and success. This is self-control. We mustn't gratify selfish wishes. Do not gratify selfish wishes. If we as parents are not careful, we will treat our children in such a way as we will lead the children to demand attention and privileges that will call for parents to deprive themselves in order to indulge our little ones.
Mm-hmm. Give nothing for which children cry. One precious lesson which the mother will need to repeat again and again and again is that the child is not to rule. They are not the master, and that their will and their wishes are not to be supreme. Mm. We need to teach them self-control. Give them nothing when they cry, even if you feel sorry for them. For if we give them what they want by crying, they will expect to do that again. the second battle will be more harder. And the more you let them have everything they want when they cry, the harder the work it is for you to control them.
Yes. And so that leads us to never permit a show of angry passions. Children should not be allowed to manifest anger. They should not be permitted to throw themselves upon the floor, kicking and crying because something has been denied them, which was not for their best good. Mm-hmm. We've seen distressed parents who show their children their own anger passions. And unfortunately, in our earlier years, this was a bit like myself. Having an outburst of anger, which then becomes the child's behavior. If this evil is permitted once, it will be repeated, and its repetition will result in habit, and so the child's character will receive an evil mold. Mm. I grew up in a family where that was the regular staple, showing angry passions. You know, I can't remember many days where my parents wasn't shouting at each other, and this really rubbed off on us as boys, me and my brothers, in a very negative ways. We were very angry kids. It led to us making a gang and just fighting a lot of people. But especially my eldest brother, he had to go counseling because of his anger issues. So anger is the passion of anger is very dangerous, and it's an emotion which needs to be controlled.
When our kids throw themselves and scream, this is the time to rebuke the evil spirit. The enemy will try to control the mind of our children, but shall we allow him to mold them according to his will? These children cannot discern what spirit is influencing them. And it's our duty as parents or grandparents to exercise judgment and discernment for them.
Yes. Some experiences with me and the boys, when they're crying, when they're having their fits of rage, almost, so to speak, I will take the child. I'll take one of, it could be, thankfully Ella hasn't been like that, but sometimes in the earlier years with the boys, I'll take them and I'll say, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to stop crying and stop getting angry. And so we stop and we pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to help us overcome. And this is just a very simple method, but we've seen so many great results almost instantly. If they don't want to pray, then I just hold them gently and say, okay, you don't need to pray. You can follow me. And they say, okay, I'll follow you. And then I ask them to follow my words and we pray, and it's quite effective. And we say that, and some of us as parents also, we need to have control of ourselves, as we mentioned, because the children, they can't control their appetites or their passionate temper. Therefore, we need to educate them how to control and deny themselves through our example. Someone once said, teach your children is example, example, example. And we could end the message right there. If parents desire to teach our children self-control, we must first form the habit ourselves, and it will fill the mind of our children and influence a mind of purity.
We just remember that we cannot be an effective teachers without the Holy Spirit. We tried over and over again, but we always fail when we are doing in our own, with our own strength.
So we need the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The next basic lesson is respect. In Psalms 138, verse 6, through the Lord be high, yet has be respect unto the lowly, the humble. Respect. We must remember that our children are not just any ordinary children. They are royalty. They are the children of God like you and like me. They are the sons of God. They will be actually our brothers and sisters when we get to heaven. They are the younger members of the heavenly kingdom. In parenting, parents must be a model in all things. We must be a model in all things, either good or bad. Children look to us and imitate anything we do. If you want your children to be respectful, respect them first, and your children will also respect you and will respect others too.
Yeah, so let's go back to Jericho briefly. There was a man that nobody respected. This was because he was openly stealing people's money. He was the tax collector, Zacchaeus. And when Jesus saw him, how did Jesus treat him? Jesus treated Zacchaeus with respect, even though he didn't deserve an ounce of it. But because Jesus knew he needed it, he gave it. If Jesus were to ask any of us, will you come and have dinner with me? How would we feel having dinner with the Lord? What an amazing honor. I know I don't deserve any of that disrespect, but that's exactly how Zacchaeus felt, and probably even worse. He probably thought, no, this is impossible, but it happened. And we know what happened after Zacchaeus. Likewise, he was given respect and he gave respect after.
Zacchaeus was filled with respect from God after he spent time with Jesus. Zacchaeus gave back kindness and respect. And the result of what Jesus did, respecting the unrespectable person, Zacchaeus filled with the Holy Spirit. He understood how beautiful it felt if someone respects you. So he also gave back kindness and respect to his family and to the people around him. He gave back what he took from people and even give a double portion. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. This is what happens when we show kindness and respect to our children. They will also give back kindness and respect to you and to the community.
Amen. So our next one is, this is a big topic, is healthy living. We did a whole series in this in Yarmouth. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, or don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? And then it says, you do not belong to yourself. So if we see that the children do not belong to themselves, and there's actually things that the Lord has given us to give them a really healthy life, the future happiness of our families and the welfare of society also depend upon how physically healthy, mentally and spiritually our children are. We need to understand that this is one of the greatest needs for our children. The healthy condition of the body and brain is needed. There has been studies proven, for example, children with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Dr. Jim Sharp from the International Institute of Regional Medicine has been successful with many of his cases of ADHD. And he starts with the basics first, which is food and other lifestyle changes. Let food be thy medicine. God's plan for his people is for the young people to be shining lights in this dark world. And actually, you can use the acronym God's plan, as you see on the slide there, as a guide for these great principles for healthy living for the children. It's the same as New Start. And by that matter, this is good for us too. If you go through each individual one, themselves is very good, but all together is very powerful. And practicing these things with our children can really take them health-wise to the next level. So that's healthy living.
The next one is helpfulness. This is another lesson that we can teach to our children, is to be helpful. Sometimes we have so much things to do and it would be much trouble to ask the children. The mother will say, I rather do these things myself. It is such a trouble for children, will help me. It will cause lots of mess and would take too much time. It is our duty, parents, to train our children to be useful, to be patient. Give our little children something to do and let them develop the happiness of helping you. The no other way decision that we just talked earlier can be applied here. what would you like to do? Wash the dishes or dry the dishes?
Yes. So this essentially is helping them to educate, helping educate the children to habits also of industry. So we have our own assignments and the rota of work to do in the home. So in the morning before the children do their homeschooling, or if you before you go to school, they have to do those. This is a part of a regular schedule, which will enable the children to make sound decisions in the future. This is being faithful in the least, so we can be faithful in much in the future, because the foundation with these basics out of the way to make even bigger decisions in the future.
Whatever we give to them, even though their work might not be that good, we must give them tasks to do and show them that we appreciate it. So EJ will wash the dishes after breakfast while Ella is sweeping the floor, while little Seth is tidying the shoe shelves and all the toys must be put in the box. And we call him, he is a manager of toys and the shoes, which helps him encourage and enjoy his little duties, which he does.
Yes. So encouraging them in those little duties. These are probably some of our last ones. Diligence and perseverance. In Ecclesiastes, whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you go. So this is connected really to helpfulness. Children frequently begin a piece of work with enthusiasm. When you've given them something to do, a task, they begin it with enthusiasm. And they're excited, but after a few minutes by themselves, they become confused or they get bored or wearied, and they will look for something else to do when they can't accomplish it. When they feel discouraged, they will give up. So they pass from one thing to another very quickly. This is learning to take the least line of resistance. This is the easy way out. But a few words of encouragement and a little help at the right time may carry them over their trouble and discouragement. And the satisfaction that they will derive from seeing the task completed, so that's their own satisfaction, this will stimulate them to greater exertion. So it is our duties as parents to encourage and assist in our children's efforts. They fail to make a success of anything they engage in because they have not been taught to persevere and be diligent in discouraging circumstances. Many young children fail because they did not correct discipline when young. Little things supply the actual discipline of life. So this is for them, that their soul is trained well, that it may grow into the likeness of Christ. And also, if they make mistakes, they can learn from it. So when the children are doing something and it's not very well done, for example, you know, we said EJ washes the dishes. If it hasn't been well done, we still encourage them, say, well done, even though there's still parts missing. And show them that, you know, this could have been done better, but you did well, good job. It's like stepping stones, you know, like riding the bike. How many times do we fall off before we achieve the success of riding on our own? That's perseverance and diligence.
The next is self-denial and selfishness and
thoughtfulness.
In Luke 9:23, it says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In every home, there should be taught a lesson of self-denial, encourage our children to save their pennies for missionary work. Christ is our example. The suffering must be relieved, the naked be clothed, the hungry be fed. I remember last year we spent Ella's birthday on the street for a few hours and looking for homeless people to help. We had some hot food in our bag pack ready to give. This is what Ella Ella's decision to feed the homeless on her birthday. And she did, and she was so happy when she did it. The character of Christ will be formed when you encourage your children to think about, to think others rather than themselves. Isn't that wonderful for a little child asking to feed the poor than asking for toys and gifts on their birthday?
Yeah, so it's not wrong, but there's a better way, right? So the last one we can look at is cheerfulness and thankfulness. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. That's in Proverbs 15:13. Psalms 106 verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, all gives thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Mm-hmm. Above all things, we as parents should surround our children with an atmosphere of cheerfulness, courtesy, and love. We must speak pleasant, happy words, which encourage a happy frame of mind. Mm-hmm. God can not truly be glorified by his children, who are always miserable, sad, complaining, and always murmuring. You know, sometimes as parents, we get frustrated in our children not going to the level that we expect them to be. Mm-hmm. And so we're saying, just do this and do that in such a way which actually makes them sad. And we must teach our children to be grateful. So love will conquer all through the love that Christ has shown us. May we show it to our children. One other thing which helped us was that we have to see the children. Yes, they are ours, but they have been a gift from God, and that every gift should be thankfully received and cheerfully used. So if we can give a cheerful spirit in the home, it says angels love to dwell in a cheerful home. Yes. And so we're going to end on Philippians 4, verse 8.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think of these things.
Amen. So this is what it's all about. Whatever, anything that's true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We must present this to our children. This is essentially what we've all been looking at. So brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, or grandparents or uncles and aunties, there's a promise in the final book of the Bible that there will be a final people, a remnant just before the return of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who will be sealed in their foreheads. And this is not just because they keep the Sabbath. This is not just because they keep the commandments outwardly. This is because their characters are like Christ. Mm. That's revealed in chapter 7 of Revelation. They're and in Revelation chapter 14, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. This is essentially what we want our children to have that same faith of Jesus, to have his loving and pure character. So our children will be part of that final remnant people. So this is our prayer this morning, afternoon. Amen.
Into your hand I commit again. Thank you.
beautiful.